Okay, we are all set.
Jai Radha Madhava, Kunjogi Hari, Jai Radha Madhava, Kunjogi Hari, Kopi Jana Pallava, Vivar Hari, Jai Kopi Jana Pallava, Giribhara Hari, Sora Nandana, Prajajana Ranjana, Jasora Nandana, Prajajana Ranjana, Yamanachira Banachari, Yamanachira Banachari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Jaya Gopijana Balabha, Girivara Dhari, Yasoda Nandana, Prajajana Ranjana, Yasoda Nandana, Prajajana Ranjana, Jamuna Tira, Panachari, Vanachira, Panachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Om Vishnu Pad Bhagavan Zabri Raja Akachar Jasto Taras Vishnu Shimade Sivakram Swami Prabhupada Ki Natakoti Vaishnavindaki Namacharja Hridas Thakur Ki Prem Seka Osh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Giradhar Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vinda Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Mathura Vrindavan Ki Mart my Pranabdik Dham ki, Tulasi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Yamuna mai ki. All glories to us on the devotees, all glories to us on the devotees, all glories Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga, Hari Hari Krishna. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shrimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Maraca Bandhu Mad Sangeet Margroon. So, Madananda Namos today. Anyway, saying some shlokas in praise of the Bhagavatam. Now we'll chant the shlokas. Shri Suta Uvacha,
Shri Suta Uvacha.
Arjuna Sahasagaya.
Arjuna Sahasagaya.
Hariya Hardam Atasina.
Hariya Hardam Atasina.
Manin Jahara Modhanyang. Vijasya Sahamurdajam.
Vijasya Sahamurdajam.
Arjuna Sahasagyaya.
Arjuna Sahasagyaya.
Arir Hardam Atasina.
Arir Hardam Atasina.
Manin Jahara Mardanyam. Vijasya Sahamurdajam.
Vijasya Sahamurdajam.
Someone else chant.
Suta Uvacha.
Suta Uvacha.
Arjuna Sahasagyaya.
Arjuna Sahasagyaya.
Arer Hardam Atasina. Manisahara Mordhanyam.
Manisahara Mordhanyam.
Vijasya Sahamordhajam.
Suta Uvacha.
Suta Uvacha.
Arjuna Sahasagyaya.
Arjuna Sahasagyaya.
Harir Ardham Atasina.
Harir Ardham Atasina.
Manim Jahara Mudhyayam.
Manim Jahara Mudhyayam.
Vijasya Sahamurjajam.
Vijasya Sahamurjajam.
Anyone else there? Okay. Suta Goswami.
Goswami.
Uvacha.
Uvacha.
Said. Arjuna.
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 Sasa.
Sasa.
Just at that time.
Just at that time.
Agya.
Agya.
Knowing it.
Knowing.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Ardham.
Ardham.
Motive.
Motive.
Ata.
Ata.
Thus.
Thus.
Asina.
Asina.
By the sword.
By the sword.
Manim.
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 The jewel.
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 Jahara.
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 Separated.
Separate.
Mordanyam.
Mordanyam.
On the head.
On the head.
Dvijasya.
Dvijasya.
Of the twice born.
Of the twice born.
Saha.
Saha.
With.
With.
Mordhajam.
Mordhajam.
Hairs.
Here.
Translation. Just then, Arjuna could understand the mode of the Lord by his equivocal orders, and thus, with his sword, he severed both hair and jewel from the head of Ashwatthama. Purport. Contradictory orders of different persons are impossible to carry out. Therefore, compromise was selected by Arjuna by his sharp intelligence, and he separated the jewel from the head of Ashwatthama. This was as good as cutting off his head, and yet his life was saved for all practical purposes. Here, Ashwatthama is indicated as twice born. Certainly, he was twice born, but he fell down from his position. Therefore, he was properly punished.
Yeah, if we could pause for a moment. So from here on out, we're not going to do responsively. So if everybody on Skype could please go ahead and mute at this time so there's no background noise. Thank you.
I'll read the other verses up to the last end of the chapter. Vimucha rashana badham balahatya hata prabham tejasa manina inam shibiran nirayapayat. He, Aswatthama, had already lost his bodily luster due to infanticide, and now, moreover, having lost the jewel from his head, he lost even more strength. Thus he was unbound and driven out of the camp. Purport. Thus, being insulted, the humiliated Aswatthama was simultaneously killed and not killed by the intelligence of Krishna and Arjuna. 57. Vapanam javinana javinadana sthanam niryapanam tata eshahi brahmabandhunam vadho nanyosti idahika. Cutting the hair from his head and depriving of his wealth, driving him from his residence, are the prescribed punishments for the relatives of a brahmana. There is no injunction for killing the body. Putra shokatura sarve pandava saha krishnaya swanamritanam yatkrityam chakror nir harana adikam. Thereafter, the sons of Pandu and Draupadi, overwhelmed with grief, performed the proper rituals for the dead bodies of their relatives. Mukam karoti vachalam pangulam gati guni kipatam aham vande shi guru ninatalanam. Okay. Sutu vacha arjuna sahasa agyaya hari hardama tasina manim jahara mordanya vijasya sahamordajam. Just then Arjuna could understand the motive of the Lord by his equivocal orders. Thus with his sword he severed both hair and jewel from the head of Aswatthama.
I'm sorry, for just have to interrupt for a second. Do you hear any echo, or are we okay?
The echo went away. Let me see. Maybe it comes on when you guys cut off. I don't know. Right now, I did hear it, but I don't hear
and
it now.
I did something to cut it off. I hope those
at the
conference can still hear us. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my comments, first, I'm envious because people in Hawaii, especially, they're in the morning time, and they're getting the full... even in the Bhagavatam in the beginning, it says before 10 o'clock is the best time to hold spiritual discourse. So here we are, I'm pushing 1 o'clock, so my brain is not going to be as clear. And I used to think of it like little like, especially in LA for some reason, because LA is near Hollywood, I used to think of that during the morning program, everybody was pretty transcendental in it. The LA temple, and then gradually things would get a little not so transcendental. It was almost like the set would be lifted or something. It would be, or it would come down. Maya would replace it a little bit, but probably something to do with being near. They have a lot of Hollywood movies just a couple blocks on the LA temple, but it's just my imagination. But it's true though that it does say in that beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the beginning that. Spiritual discourse is best heard in the morning. Of course, it's Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We're after that 24-hour, Prabhupada said. In fact, I think he said in Hawaii there should be classes 24 hours. I know he said it in Bombay in one lecture, The Glories of the Bhagavatam. There should be 24 hours Bhagavatam class. But in Hawaii, he had said there should be 5 hours of class one time. I think it was after one sannyasi he unceremoniously sent his dunda to Prabhupada there, and he probably made some comments at the time. Anyway, it's always good to read the Bhagavatam. It's all auspicious. Danyam swastiyaya namahat. All auspicious, all perfect, all blissful. So we're talking about Mr. Aswatthama again. And interestingly enough, Prabhupada says in this purport that Arjuna, by his sharp intelligence, he separated the jewel. So he had sharp intelligence. He used a sharp sword, obviously, to cut someone's hair. Just look at these words here. Murdhnyadayatmana. It's in the 8th chapter of the Gita that one should rise up through his head in the yoga practice. So this murdhnyam refers to the head. On the head, especially. And then in that very next line, it says, mordajam. And jam means, we know what jam means, born from. So the hairs are mordajam, born from your head. I know most people understand things are born from your head, but the hairs are born from your head. All right, so aside from that, we see the word hari, that these equivocal instructions, you know, in the, I think the third chapter of the Gita that this is used, that Arjuna says to Krishna, it seems like your instructions are a little bit equivocal. I'm not sure what to do, because first you said, you know, I should fight, and they say I should be a yogi, and I should, you know, chill out, and don't get, he didn't know what it is. He's showing this example. But because he's non-envious, from Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna could understand the message. Because you're not envious of me, because you're my friend, my dear, very dear friend, I'm instructing you in this science. Other people who may not be on that level won't perhaps understand it as well, or they weren't selected. Prabhupada used to say a great Brahmana or this or that person, a great Jnani or Vedanti, Vedantic Shastra scholar was not selected to hear, but Arjuna was selected. And this is one of the reasons here. He had sharp intelligence. He could understand, well, I got to do something real fast. I got this guy in front of me. And they used to, this shows how kind of swords they had too. I mean, I understand from informed sources, I know Jagat Guru Swami Nisringa, is now known as Nisringa, he told me he had a chance at the in Jaipur to lift up the sword of Jai Singh, I believe it was, a Man Singh, probably Jai Singh. They have the swords of the old Kshatriyas from 400 or 500 years ago there on exhibit, and they said the sword was incredibly heavy to pick up. It may not be as sharp as it was when he used it, but apparently some of these Kshatriyas were 7 feet, even 500 years ago. They were, you know, we even see big Sikhs nowadays. I know Yogi Bhajan, he was a Sikh. He came to L.A., had one bodyguard about almost 7 feet tall. So you can well imagine that the kings, even 500 years ago, were pretty big guys. What to speak of Arjuna and Yudhisthira and Bhima. Bhima was a giant. He was, who knows how big. So, and not only big, but they had swords that weighed a lot. You know, you could barely lift it with two hands. I mean, and Jayakuru was not that weak, but he said he can't imagine like holding that with one hand. And sharp, razor sharp. So he cut his hair. I mean, you know, you can't do that with an ordinary knife. It has to be razor sharp. And he was just, he could have cut his head in one fell swoop, but he just cut his hair off. Probably Ashwatthama was expecting to get his head cut off too. So another thing here is Mani Nabushita Sarpa. He was a Dvija Bandhu. We've been hearing about this over and over. And the Dvija Bandhus are many times compared to a serpent, and the serpent with a jewel. So Ashwatthama was like that in this instance especially. He was a fallen Dvija, fallen Brahmin Bandhu. And we've seen the words Brahma and Brahmana and Vipra, and we've seen this Dvija. Everyone is born a Sudra, Sudra Sambhava, Kalav Sudra Sambhava, Veda Pata Bhava Vipra. And by studying Vedas, he becomes a Vipra. So these words are sometimes interchangeable, just as if you have an analogy, you might think of, if I say so-and-so is a Swami, you know, say Bir Krishna or Bhakti Chiru is a Swami, but I can also say he's a devotee. Doesn't mean he's not a Swami anymore. So Prabhupada sometimes once or twice made a distinction that a Vipra has something to do with more material activity, and he gradually becomes a real Brahmana, and he can deal more with spiritual activity. And there's so many varieties of Brahmanas, as Prabhupada describes in the second canon, one of the purports there, that if one does something beneficially, does some charity work, Prabhupada compares that to, in the next life, what result you'll get. And Veda Paraga is the highest type of Brahmana, one who can completely resolve all doubts, and he's surpassed, gone to the other side, it means, of the Vedas. He's understood the Vedas. Of course, if one doesn't understand Krishna as a result, There's that couple of verses. Shabda Brahmani Nishnato Nishnayat Pare Yadi Shamas Tasha Falo. That he's working very hard for nothing. It's like taking, keeping a cow that doesn't give milk, where the milk has already disappeared. There's no milk. Gam Dugda Doham Asatim Chabaryam. Keeping a wife that's unchaste or a son that's useless, a rascal, has no intelligence. These things are what's compared to reciting the Vedas and not getting to the end. Obviously, this is the type of brahmana or dvija or vipra that we have here in the form of Aswatthama. Because even Krishna, even Lord Chaitanya himself, known as Dvijamani, Gora Amani Jagi, and that song, Udilo Arana, Udilo Arana, how is it? Torabha Bhagi, Dvijamani, Amani Jagi. He's Dvijamani. He's the jewel of all twice born. He is a Dvija. He's the king of the Dvija. In fact, in the beginning of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya is referred to also, and Lord Nityananda, Ajana Lambido Budro Kanagavadato Samkirtanakipitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishrambaro Dvijavaro. They're the best of the Dvijas. Dvijavaro. Yuga Dharma Palo, they protect the Yuga Dharma. Kala means they protect. Therefore, we offer Dvija. We offer respect to them. Kurun Avataro, they're the avatars of pure mercy. We offer all respects to them. The two of them, Ajana Lambito, both of them with their arms to their knees. These are the kings of the Brahman, the actual jewels of the Brahman. But here, this Aswatthama, he had a jewel. And Chanakya Pandit refers to this type of person. Of course, they're much lower class, but a person who appears to be a Brahmana. There's many that masquerade as Brahmana. Vijaya Lankito Pisan, Durjana Parihartabhya. Once you give up, he says, very quickly, the association, which they did here with Aswatthama. They gave his associate, and they just kicked him out of there, out of the camp. Cut his jewel, cut his hair, shaved him up. I'm sure it wasn't a very neat job. You don't do that, neat a job. They didn't sit around, but they whacked it off. Just as was done to, I guess, Rukmi at one point, and to Jayadrath, or different persons have had this undergone this type of haircut throughout some of the literature. So, but Chanakya Pandit says, Durjana, these are Durjana, Parihartabhya, we should give them up. They appear to have some knowledge. Apparently, he was the son of Drona. He had knowledge, especially of military art. In those days, you couldn't become a Dvija for nothing, but obviously he was a false, fallen. Kshatra Bandhu is also another word, just like we have this Dvija Bandhu, or we also have the, or Brahma Bandhu, we have the, even Maharaj Yudhisthira later on, I think it's later on, when he gets the curse of the Dvija, the son of the that other, that Brahman, whatever his name was, he cursed him. He considered himself that he was cursed. He said, let my whole kingdom run. This is, what have I done? You know, because he was lamenting. After this, we'll see how they do all the things, but gradually he was lamenting that he had done so many sinful activities and so many people had died. Therefore, in the battle, after being cursed, he accepted it. Tam mopayatam patyantu vipra. Let this vipra, he calls this the son of the Vipra, the Vipra himself, this boy Sringi, he touched water, he cursed Maharaj Parikit. And so Maharaj Parikit just took it that way. He said, Dashatvalam Gayata, whatever magic trick this Brahmana can conjure up, Kulukas Takshiko Va, I implore you, all you, he's talking in front of Sukadeva and all the Brahmanas and all the great Vyasadeva, you know, everyone. He's saying, go on chanting about Vishnu, Vishnu Gata. Go on singing songs of Vishnu. I don't mind. Let this snake bird, whatever comes, it can bite me. I don't mind. So this is the mood of this pure devotee. He was cursing himself that this whole kingdom can burn. I'm a kshatra bandhu. I'm not even a real kshatriya. I'm simply the friend of, or a fallen, like that. Now, so this is how the pure devotees think. We get a good idea from reading this Bhagavatam, we can see the link between so many of the words and so many of the, just this purport and Hari, the word Hari, there's so many words one can use variously in various verses. We see in Bhagavad Gita probably explains why, you know, the word Madhusudan is used or this particular word, but in this particular case, Hari is used because he cuts. Hari cuts, he steals. He takes away the mind. Manohari, he's called Manohari. He steals the mind. He steals the mind of the gopi. He steals the mind of everyone in the universe. Even if our mind is not stolen directly by Hari, by Krishna, the most attractive, then in his lower form of Maya, he's stealing our mind. You know, either way, our mind is taken this way, taken that way. So we just, by speaking Bhagavatam every day or much as we can, and we're obviously putting forward that we want our mind stolen directly by Krishna. In the case of Aswatthama, because he's a person in the Bhagavatam, we don't really know his status, but he was showing a very, very bad example, a material example. In fact, I noticed that in one of these verses, the next verse, Vimucharasana Badham, he was released by the ropes, and Balahatya Hataprabham. This entire line is replicated in the sixth canto. Actually, I actually remembered this and looked it up, but it's in 16th chapter, the sixth canto, wherein we see the story of Harshashoka, that Chitraketu, he, if we remember, talk about an amazing thing. He had 10 million wives, none of them could conceive. Probably, maybe we could say it was his fault or something. But anyway, he had 10 million wives. He had no son. Oh, he had daughters, so I guess he could conceive, but he couldn't have any son. And it was pretty amazing. And so finally, somehow or other, he begged the benediction from Angira Rishi. Angira Rishi said, well, I can get you a son, except it might not be so good. He's going to be named Harshashoka, if that tells you something. Of course, everyone was probably pretty conversant with Sanskrit at those. I mean, we're talking about very elevated people. So he didn't mind. He said, okay, let it be. That's right. As long as I'll have my son. But then some of the other wives, they became pretty envious. They poisoned the son. So they're, that's considered, of course, they didn't themselves even have an abortion, and neither did Aswatthama. He killed these sons. Obviously, they looked like they might have been teenagers even, but it's still considered here as Balahatya. And what it says is Hataprabham. And then he lost the jewel from his head. He lost even more strength. He was losing gradually. He was getting worse and worse. Then unbound and kicked out, thrown out. So it also brings to mind that yogi, that Bhishikeshane, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastised, that he, when he was in the court, he had a lot of mystic power, amazing mystic power. Of that, you know, flames were shooting out of his head. He could, you know, like sit inside the fire practically. He was doing all. He had some kind of amazing shakti. He said, no doubt, because he was controlling so many people that were sitting around, completely mesmerized, women, and, you know, leaving their husbands. And this is, in those days, kind of unheard of even. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, his daughter was almost died from a fever. His wife was begging him, please let this guy go. But then one particular day in the court, the thing was playing out. So the British, I forgot his name, he came up and cut his hair, snipped off all his hair, and that guy just collapsed. And then he went to jail. He lost all of his shakti. All his power was in his hair. And so this is, and somehow or other, we don't understand it, but maybe it's this false ego program, but they have power in their hair. And Aswatthama is losing his prabha, yasya prabha, prabhavato jagatam. It's in the Brahma Samhita, this word is used at this effulgence, the power. There's one, Prahlad's prayers also, where he talks about it, that all the various activity, all the various things that won't help you in devotional service, he mentions this prabha, teja prabha. And Tejas Prabha, there's so many things mentioned, your knowledge, buddhi, all these things kind of help you, kind of help anyone, but only is this pure devotion to Krishna. He gives the example of Jatayu. Jatayu was just a or a Gajendra, rather. Prabhupada gave this Jataya, but also Jataya, but Gajendra. He wants to be, he's aspiring to be like Gajendra. Although he was an elephant, he didn't have any quality except he was an elephant, but he was completely surrendered. And therefore, it's called Gajendra Moksha. He was liberated. He lifted up the flower. He was liberated from the crocodile. The crocodile is also like this material energy. So we could see Aswatthama as representing this material energy and the false brahmanas. And although, whether it's Aswatthama or these envious wives, Parshashoka himself spoke like, you know, the greatest knowledge when he somehow, Narada Muni brought him back to life. And he said, well, who are, what, you know, who are these parents? I don't know who they are. So it caused great lamentation when he left. He died, he caused great lamentation. But what I'm getting at is these words, Vavahacha Hatha Prabha. Prabhupada says this is like, just like abortion. Although these envious queens, just like Aswatthama, he was not a woman, you know, but this envy in the heart, Hridyakama, Hridyaroga Kama, this is the disease of lust, envy, it's all in the heart. Ashesha Kamana, Hridi Maje Mor, Bhaktivinoda Thakur described, we have unlimited desires in our heart. Due to those desires, we could end up like an envious wife of Kritaduti, co-wife of wife of Chitraketu. We could end up or be in this mood of Aswatthama by any hook or crook, as it says, Aso my hata shatror. Everyone is my enemy. So and so is my enemy. It's in the 16th chapter of the Gita. The divine demoniac nature. So this demoniac nature, they are saying everyone is my enemy. So Aswatthama was like that. He was on the side of Duryodhan. Duryodhan himself was even, when he spoke Dvijotama in the Gita, he speaks to Dronacharya. But he's apprehensive, even when he's speaking. He's calling him Dvijotama, he's addressed, but he's saying at the same time, just see, this other person that you trained, who was at Draupad, he get us, you know. He knew that there was some curse there, or something. Dhritarashtra, he was in that mood in the beginning. Dharma Kshetri, Kurukshetra, some. He's saying, what did my sons do when they got to the battlefield? And Prabhupada said, there's no reason for him to ask that, because it's just like if I put a plate of prasad or in front of you, you're going to eat it. There's no sense if I give Narhari or Ramananda a big, juicy, you know, 15-20 course Janmashtami Gaur Purnim meal, and somehow or other I have to go out of the room and do something else. I mean, I have to go wash pots or something, or do a painting, whatever. I could say, oh, what did they do? You know, what did they do? Are you an idiot? They ate that prasadam. Are you an imbecile? So this envy always comes with it so much anxiety. Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, always in anxiety. And the 16th chapter describes it so well. Aso my hata shatru hanishe chapuranabhi. I will kill. I killed so many of my other enemies. I'm going to kill some more enemies. This was the mood of this Dvija Bandhu, this so-called Dvija or Brahmana of this Aswatthama, this full, just like this Kamsa's mood, you know. This is, and Prabhupada described it, Bhakti Sananta had this term that he used to use. I read it in the biography, something like Padma Niti. Is, you know, we read Niti means the ethics of like Chanakya and what to do in different situations. So of course Arjuna knew all this, but the Padma Niti, Padma is the mother of Kamsa. For some reason or other, I didn't know that, but we generally don't think of Kamsa so well. But so he called this Padma Niti, that they're thinking, oh, Krishna, just like Nanda Maharaj, he has his son and he's just, what does he do? He's giving him so much worship, but all he's doing, you know, he's just getting some milk and herding some cows. He's just this ordinary boy. That's how they think of Krishna. That's how they the devotees, ordinary people, Bhagavatam, everything ordinary, this Dharma, Dharma Stana Dakshinato Yakta Narayana Swayam. We understand the Dharma directly coming from Krishna. And the backside is Yatra Narayana Mrityu Eva Bhayankara. It causes death and the fear of death. So persons in the mentality of Aswatthama, of these envious queens, those who perform abortions, probably compared them immediately to abortion people. Just see, I was brushing up the other day, there was some little thing online about the Scientologists, and a lot of scandals now. I kind of feel sorry for them, you know, Tom Cruise and all these idiots. Excuse my English. But so actually they have their innermost circle, they exploit people. They exploit young people. They have them sign up for a billion-year contract. And then they're not allowed to have kids. And they, without thinking, without even second thought, they'll abort your child. If you want to stay in their inner circle, of course, they don't even pay these people. They're working like 15, 20 hours a day. They abort. There were some people there had four or five abortions because, you know, before they finally ran away, escaped, and realized, what am I doing? So this enforced abortion, they call that a religion. They actually call this a religion. In fact, they even say that their little thingamajig machine that they test people can see that there's sensitivity in tomatoes and different things. So on the one hand, they're saying that they understand and perceive the sensitivity of a tomato, but they'll abort a kid without thinking just for the sake of their organization, just to bring money or whatever their objective is. So this we can see is really manina bhushita sarpo. Here it is. They're in the guise of religion. They're calling themselves a religion. It's invented by some mad man who was quite charismatic and very imaginative sci-fi man. And he just decided this is the best way to make money. He was able to figure out how to dovetail his imagination and create a religion completely asampradayic, apadharmic, adharmic, totally the antithesis of Bhagavad Dharma. And he's exploiting like that. And it's still going on. He's been dead and gone, but others are exploiting. So this abortion, I was also thinking, you know, one time in Sweden, we had one brahmacharini she joined, and she said she had undergone eight abortions. And like devotees were like amazed. Wow, okay, you know, you better chant it. Atone, because Prabhupada says the only thing you can do is chant for any sin. I mean, even in the Ajamil pastime, we read Kalpa, what is it? Stena, Sura, Pau, Mitra, Drug, one who kills his friend, a killer of a friend, who has sex with his guru's wife, he kills his own guru. Anybody, the most abominable thing, can be relieved of that, but he has to, just like Jai Gai Marai, they were able to be relieved of unlimited sinful activity, but Prabhupada said you cannot do it again. You cannot do it again, or else you're doomed. It's over. You've given a chance, and somehow or other, Jagai Mata became great devotees. It doesn't always happen, but we've heard also that in the Soviet countries and those many countries, but especially remember reading this in some paper, newspaper article, that one lady who'd given up, she had so many abortions, finally she had some children. She said, I don't know why I did that. She said, but in Russia, having the average woman, after, by the time she's finished being childbearing age, she had eight abortions, seven or eight abortions. And some of them would say, well, it's just like getting your hair washed or something. You know? So they don't think twice. They have no value of life. So this is what, and here's the terminology that we see, the Sanskrit terminology, Bala Hatya Hata Prabham. And so this is going on. Their hearts are pierced. And somehow they're thinking they're getting away with this abortion. They're getting away. And Aswatthama thought he was going to get away too, but he didn't get away. His life was saved for all practical purposes, it says, and indicated as twice born. Certainly he was twice born, but he fell down from his position. Therefore, he was properly punished. So we can see Arjuna was very sharp in his intelligence. He took everything, and it said, the word is here, he knew it immediately. What does Prabhupada say? Therefore, compromise selected And he understood it. Suddenly it came to him. And he was able to figure it out. Just then he could, just at that time, sahasa, a guy, he knew. So this inspiration came to, I know what to do. I'll do this. Of course, Krishna is right there in his heart. He tells you what to do. As it says, Brahmayam Yantrudani, or Yantrudani Maya. He's sitting in the heart, Hridishtitam, and he's giving instruction. Just like Prabhupada gave that example, the thief is, he's kind of praying that, I hope I can sneak in and not get caught. Meanwhile, the person lying in bed thinking, if the thief comes, I hope I can catch him, shoot him or something. But Krishna's not bewildered, but we become bewildered by these things. Just like those Yamadutas, because they heard what they thought were equivocal instructions. At the one hand, they knew they're supposed to get someone like Ajamil, who was so sinful. On the other hand, all of a sudden these Vishnu Dutas showed up and said, hey, you guys can't take him. He's chanted. Sorry. So they went back to Yama and said, what do we do? He said, you never touch. Even in dream, you don't go after the Vaishnava. And now Ajamil has become Vaishnava, so therefore you cannot touch him. So hereafter, you cannot touch the Vaishnavas. They will not even see hell, even in a dream. Only those who do not one time Ekadapi, one time bow their head or chant once even Krishna, the name of Krishna. But those who, Vishnu Krityan, who do not understand their activities for Vishnu, but the ones who do understand, who are Vaishnavas, they drink the honey of my feet at every moment. You never go after them. So Ajamil has become like that. And Ajamil lamented greatly for whatever he had done. He was atoned, atonement, this prashchitta. There's no particular prashchitta like I didn't tune in, but I downloaded yesterday's class about this Subhuti Roy, and he was told to drink hot lead. And actually, on one tape, Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya laughed and said, just see the condition of these so-called Brahmin society, these Hindus, that they're giving some of this. He laughed. He's a Supreme Personality, but he's laughing at them. Laughing at them, Prabhupada said. So we don't want to be in that fallen condition. We always have to keep our heads at the feet, the 2 feet of the Bhagavatam, first and second canto, and onward as far as we can. As birds fly in the sky, this one verse, yataditam yatamati, as far as I can. I've been trying to, this is one of the verses by Sutta Goswami, that I listened with attention, this conversation between Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami, and as far as I understood it, that I'm repeating. So we're very fortunate we have such great personalities who can repeat like that. And just like Krishna's Kaviraj, he heard from Raghunath. Raghunath saw directly. He heard from Sarup Damodar. He had all the notes. He understood them. He memorized them. Krishna's Kaviraj memorized them, and this way it's being passed down. Not that we would, as one example given, where the fruits that, if one doesn't take the trouble to go and get the fruits in the tree, that many times if you only depend on fruits on the ground, they can be rotten. But the fruits are being passed down carefully, handed down. Not that we just let them fall and rot, and then we pick them. But one who is lazy, he has to overcome it. He has to get those fruits. He has to make some endeavor. We cannot just expect that, yes, I'm getting the mercy. I don't chant. I don't do anything. I've heard people say like that. But Prabhu, you don't chant. It's okay. Prabhupada's my friend. He loves us. He loves me. I don't have to do that or this or this or that. No, it's not like that. One has to give up, just as Arjuna was told by Krishna, get up. And fight. He didn't say, no, I'll fight. No. Nimitta matram, you're the instrument. And I've done everything, but still, Prabhupada said he didn't sit on the chariot and say, Arjuna, just smoke ganja. That's okay. No, he didn't say like that. He said, you have to fight. So similarly here, he's getting the instruction. He's a transparent via media. So if we somehow can get to that level of like Arjuna or aspire for that level, somehow we can get instructions from the guru. Definitely not Krishna directly, but the guru will give us the instructions, what to do, what not to do. Don't do this. Even Arjuna, you know, it appeared later after Krishna disappeared that he couldn't even save some cowherd women or some, I think they were queens. They were attacked by cowherd men, that's what it was. But then he again was inspired and he said, now I am thinking, Deshakalarta Yuktani Hritapo Pashamanicha Haranti Prasabam Govinda Bihitani. He said that now I can understand that these instructions from Krishna are good for all Deshakalarta, good for all Desha, all places, times, all situations. Hritapo Pashamanicha. And they take away the suffering within the heart. So that's what we're doing now, attempting to rip out this suffering in the heart, being burning in this material world. And this is the instruction Arjuna is getting from Krishna directly. You should kill him, but then just after he's testing him. It even says that, Parikshaya, he's testing him. And he understood, yes. This is what I do. On the one hand, Manasamhita, they were discussing yesterday about Manasamhita. Prabhupada did quote Manasamhita. He never said, yeah, make a big study of it, but he quoted it here and there. But some of the things are very detailed that, you know, if you do this, someone who steals this particular thing goes to this hell, or, you know, he should have his hand cut off or his left hand, this many fingers, very specific stuff, you know, things that you should do. Someone who does this with this person, you know. All really heavy duty stuff. They're very, very clear. And Prabhupada used to quote that verse about the women, you know, they should never be given no stri satantra marhati. They shouldn't be given satantra, total freedom to do whatever they want. Doesn't mean that they're oppressed, but they shouldn't be out in the street walking around, you know, half naked or something like that. But they have to be protected. Pita rakshati komare. When they're kids, they're protected by the father. Bharta Rakshati, the husband protects them later on in life, and then their older son, and they shouldn't be out just doing any damn thing, as is being encouraged by people who exploit them. And probably that was one of his favorite Manasamhita. He probably quoted that more than anything else from Manasamhita. So if there's any other comments on this, I think I could pretty much wind down.
Prabhuji, wonderful class as always. And just a comment. You're sort of your pre-Bhagavatam comments about how nice it is to hear the Bhagavatam early in the morning, and you were saying in L.A. that you could feel later when the Hollywood sets. Yeah, I was going to say, you were saying that the Hollywood sets were coming. You were feeling contamination from that, and I would just say that it's just the changing the modes of nature. The reason the Hollywood set came out was because the mode of passion kicks in. And hence the verse, you know, Yani Shah, Sarva Bhutana, and Tisyang Jagarki Sangyami. We're up, you know, the yogi, he's up early to catch the mode of goodness. And
right.
We feel that predominance of the mode of goodness early, which is why we get up early, why there's Mangal Arti early, why we chant rounds early. We've all experienced. If we don't chant around early in the morning, you know, for some reason it gets put off till later in the day. It can be quite a struggle. Whereas in the morning, it's definitely a lot easier because of that influence of the mode of goodness. In fact, Prabhupada used to say, you know, Bhagavatam in the morning, bank balance in the afternoon. So we take advantage of the influences, the modes of nature. We sleep during the mode of ignorance in the evening, and we're up early, and we do our business in the afternoon. It's the modes of nature.
Well, I don't know if it's the mode of ignorance. Probably just to stay up at night and translate.
That's Prabhupada.
And, you know.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur would wake up at midnight and chant on the rooftops of his house.
Right. I mean, we're in the mode of ignorance. I don't think that if one is up, you know, that there anyone who's up doing something spiritual has absolutely nothing to do with the mode of ignorance. But, yeah.
I agree.
But, I mean, there's some scientific study that those are the best hours to sleep, obviously. So, you know.
Well, also, we also find in the evening, it practically, it seems the mode of ignorance is kicking in. That's when the bars open. That's when the women of the night come out. They become enlivened by that mode of nature, by that influence.
That's obvious. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I used to think of it, especially in L.A., but it's just, you know, cities in the mode of passion, and what is it, the brothels in the mode of ignorance, or the bar, and the countries in the mode of goodness. I mean, this is something said by some British philosopher, probably used to quote it. We take gold from anywhere, nectar from any poison.
Well, we want to thank you for going through the austerity of doing this later on in the day. But the other thing is that you give such an awesome class. I can't imagine what it'd be like if you're giving it in the morning.
I don't know about all that, but tomorrow morning I'm giving the CC class down here. But I guess I'm getting warmed up, you know, you guys coaching me. I don't know about awesome, but yeah, I was just quoting and seeing different things. Actually, I wish I had a better command of English. I could maybe explain things better, but
mentions that his jewel gave him power, that when they cut his jewel off, he lost strength.
Yeah.
But it appeared that he still had enough to throw another Brahmastra at what type of strength did he lose? I mean, how do you get from that jewel?
Yeah, I guess. We'll get to that part, huh? But, yeah, he didn't just collapse like that yogi did in jail. Then he finally died, or he committed suicide, that yogi, that Vishnikashin. I guess he was desperate to do anything he could, you know, and he... I mean, come on, he was one of the Maharatis mentioned in the Gita. He was a Maharati. He's mentioned the Gita as a Maharati, so he had whatever, you know, he had some stuff, he had some Shakti left, so even though he was diminishing, he still had some left. That's all I could say.
You know anything about the jewel, how he got it, what they do?
They tie it in the hair or something? I mean, even the present-day Sikhs, you know, they wear the beards, not all of them, but most of them, especially if they want to get a job in the West, or they wear their beards, even in India, stuck back with like a stocking nylon or something. They're not supposed to shave their beard, you know, because they get their, you know, they used to go out and they would defend the Hindu religion, really, against the Muslims, really. They were fighting during, you know, many times. Guru Nanak, I mean, there's a different religion, but they're supposed to be Kshatriyas. So they're not supposed to ever cut their hair. That's why they wear the big turban. They have really long hair, the beard. Nowadays, of course, people get tired of that. You know, it could get really itchy and weird, you know, and they're supposed to carry a dagger. Even these Yogi Bhajan guys, they used to carry daggers out of part of their religion. I don't know if they outlawed it, but I guess they can get a license for it. But they were friendly with devotees because of Yogi Bhajan. In fact, they said different times, if you have a problem, call us, you know, we'll... They used to many times come to the restaurant in L.A., but they're always kind of favorable toward ISKCON because of Yogi Bhajan, although Prabhupada did give him some sauce. He was kind of a flamboyant guy. I saw him a couple of times. He came to L.A. and started talking real loud after Prabhupada left. I saw him also during Prabhupada's time. He came up to the art studio one time because he came to Hawaii. That's the most famous time. And he tried to get Prabhupada to go in on that interfaith kind of conference they were going to have in New Mexico, and Prabhupada said, no, it won't work. Just write this down. Mark it down. It won't work. Anyway, they're supposed to be in this line of Sikh Kshatriyas, but they're more into yoga than most of them. Anyway, so these Sikhs, they're not supposed to cut their hair. They get power, some kind of power, you know, Kshatriyas. I guess it's kind of scary if you undo your hair in the middle of the battle. You look kind of like the Hell's Angel, you know, like, wow. I don't know, but this power Sikhs are supposed to, Kshatriyas keep their hair, you know. They don't always keep the beard, I'm not sure, but they definitely keep hair.
Pushkar Prabhu.
Yeah.
In regards to abortion, this is very mundane. But I work at a birthing unit. I work in the OB unit here in Hilo. And just, you know, statistics, I would say, I'm being kind by saying 20% of the women that deliver babies carry. And that 20% is very generous. If that
20%, what? I missed that. 20% have abortions.
20% of the women that give birth here are married.
Only 20%?
Yeah, that's being very generous, Prabhu.
Of course, your place is where they're giving birth. They're not having abortions, at least.
They're giving birth there. They don't have abortions there. And the other thing is that I would say 1% or even less of women that deliver have not had an abortion.
1%?
Yeah, because when we go into our conference room, they say gravida. When they talk about the patient, they'll say, okay, gravida 4, para 5. So like this, so gravida means how many pregnancies she had, para means how many live births, and then they say AB meaning abortion. And I swear.
What does gravida mean?
Gravida means how many times she got pregnant.
Oh, okay. And these are code words that the women don't understand.
So they say how many times she got pregnant, how many live births she had, and how many abortions. That's part of our everyday routine for every single patient.
So you're saying 99% have had abortions?
Yeah, yeah.
Even the hippie girls?
Everyone, even the nice girls.
Right, and they're all suffering.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question they're going to have having a reaction. You better preach to them. Give them a little card. Tell them, chant this. Don't tell them why you're giving it. I guess you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, but it's a heavy place to be. I mean, I thought of you. And there's this other thing called...
You have to be there when they give birth too, huh?
Yeah, there's this other thing called the morning after pill. And I
know,
just learned about that. And
a woman took it by accident recently. She's on the news. She was trying to have a baby, but then by accident she had one laying around or something, and she ate it. Now she doesn't know if the baby's going to be killed.
Yeah.
Probably will if the pill works.
The sad thing about it is in any clinic here called the Bay Clinic in Pahoa or in Keau or in Hilo, it's a free clinic. Any woman, any girl, even if you're 16 or whatever age you are,
get the pill. Yeah.
Yes, without question.
They don't even, I know, but what are they don't even know if they're pregnant. They have to prove they're pregnant?
Maybe they take a pregnancy test. I'm not sure, but I know they just go in and they give it to you.
But somebody wants to really do damage.
No, you can't detect if you're pregnant just the next day with a blood test or urine test. You can't.
Oh, you can't tell yet. Yeah, it takes 3 days. Right?
So they just give you the pill for no questions.
But imagine if a real demoniac person could get a hold of the pill and grind it up and put it in someone, pregnant ladies. Or does it work? At a certain point, it stops working if you already have a baby growing in you. I don't know. I mean, it sounds really...
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So demoniac.
That's where society is going. And I think you're correct.
But that's not just Hawaii. That's a federal national law. That can happen anywhere.
But I agree with you when you say that women need to be protected, and that's the main problem. Women are not protected anymore, anywhere. Anywhere.
They don't want to be.
Some do, and we're still not.
Yeah, maybe, but I see them running around. And
yeah, it's a two-way street. It's also, you know, people don't want to have the responsibility of protecting women.
I mean, in Africa, they rape women like mad. That's the main thing they do.
Horrible.
They really, they as soon as they do anything, they rape somebody. They don't even eat a meal without raping and, you know, whatever. They're just like, you know, I don't want to get into that. It's all over the world, but just a big thing in all those countries. You know, Congo and all these countries that like 2/3 of the women have been raped by the time they're 12. I guess they just give them out those pills. I don't think those people couldn't even get those pills. I mean, I remember when they had that pill in France, the night after pill in some Europe country, and then they were saying, oh, America's so backward. We don't have that pill. We got to have that pill. And now, that was just a few years ago. There was a big, you know, some of those Christians are so strong, they'll go and they'll blow up a abortion clinic, shoot an abortion doctor. It's kind of an admirable thing in a way. you have to give him, you know, give him a little bit of credit for being at least, you know, convicted to what, you know, have some conviction. One guy's doing, you know, a life imprisonment now because he killed some abortion doctor. A few of them are, but, you know, and they sound quite sane when they talk to him. It blows people's mind. How could you do that? How could you do that? But they, you know, they're putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak.
Prabhus, we better quit at 8:30.
Okay.
Last thing to...
I'm a quitter. I'm a quitter. I'm the first one to quit.
I meant to say we should close it out.
I'm a quitter. Just like Sarah Palin, she quit, whatever, being governor of Alaska, and we're all crying about it. We are, actually. Because now she's circulating everywhere. She's just been contained in Alaska. Oh, my God. All right. She can go on proudly killing animals on TV, whatever she does. Her Leela. I'm sure she must be a transcendental personality. All right. Hardball, thank you.
Yes. Bye, Prabhuji. Thank you, Karji.
Adios.
Adios. Hey, Paul.
All right, Prabhuji. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam. Keep dying.
Hi.
Prabhupada.
Yes.
Prabhupada, is your class tomorrow?
Yes, there is. Saturday, we have our seminar.
Oh, okay. You didn't announce that, or yes. maybe you announced it when I stepped away for a minute.
Tomorrow, Saturday, for a seminar about Varnashram.
Okay, great. I'll see you tomorrow then. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol, Prabhupada.